Oh, I understand after the service today we're going to acknowledge some of the best Chinese clothes today, and Michael's going to come up and tell us who those are. The judges are deliberating right now as we speak. I don't think I'm going to win this year. I never win. I have not won a single year. I think Michael should win, though. Have you seen Michael this? Do you have your ponytail on today? Are you wearing your ponytail, Michael? Yes, he is. He's been growing that all year just for today. Well, I didn't go that far. I understand at this time of year, there's a common Chinese phrase that goes something like this. In English, something about welcoming spring, receiving blessings. Is that a familiar expression to anybody here? Maybe it's in Chinese, it is. Welcoming spring, receiving blessings. Obviously, we're not welcoming spring in. We're in the middle of summer, but I guess it comes from the northern hemisphere. So welcoming spring, receiving blessings. What kind of blessings? What are blessings? This is the thing that I want to talk to you about this morning. I think perhaps one of the easiest traps it is for us in New Zealand to fall into is to take God and His blessings for granted. We're so blessed in so many ways that we often assume that we have a right to things. We have a right to beautiful homes. We have a right to beautiful cities, a right to safe schools and nice weather like it is today. We have these rights, and we often forget that many people in the world are struggling to just barely survive. Let me put this into perspective for you. If you have food in your refrigerator, I don't. I eat most of it. But if you have food in your refrigerator, you have clothes on your back, if you have a roof over your head and a place to sleep, you're richer than 75% of the world. If you have money in the bank, and you have some money in your pocket, and you have perhaps a cup at home with some money in it, some spare change, you're in the top 8% of the world. The top 8%, that means you're, 92% of the world are worse off than you are. If you have never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture or starvation, you're ahead of 500 million people. If you can attend a worship service like this one, a church, you can attend a church, you're more blessed than 3 billion people. Do you understand how blessed you are, or do you take it for granted? There's an old song that was sung in New Zealand, and it was sung by the name of Fred Dagg, the singer. You remember that song? Who knows that song? You don't know how lucky you are, or we don't know how lucky we are. It's a cute song. It's a funny song. It's a good song. We don't know how lucky we are, but I want to suggest to you that we as Christians don't know how blessed we are. We don't understand and realize how blessed we are. And this morning I'd like us to begin with a word of prayer. And as we pray together, you're probably a lot like me, and you often get so busy that you forget to say thank you to God for some of these blessings in life. So let's take a minute together and let's thank Him together. Let's thank Him for even the material things. Say, God, thank You for providing for us. Thank Him as we think about the relationships that He's given to us in our lives. And then let's thank Him for the love, God's love for you, the love that He's shown us. Let's pray. Father, we lift our hearts up to You at this time together and say thank You. You, Lord, are so gracious. You're so good to us. Thank you for providing our needs. Lord, the food, the clothing, the beautiful place to live, the freedom that we have. Thank you for these blessings. Thank you, Father, for the families here. Thank you for our relationships. I thank you for my brothers and sisters here at the church. Thank you for my wonderful wife and kids. Lord, for my friendships. Lord, most of all, I want to say thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us enough to send Jesus to die in our place, to give us, Lord, eternal life, and to have a relationship with you. Thank you in Jesus' name, and we all will say, Amen. The Bible says everything you have in your life is a gift from God. You wouldn't be here except for the grace of God. John 1 verse 16 says, From the fullness of His grace, we have all received one blessing after another. These blessings come from God's grace. Everything you have in life is a blessing from God. Sometimes we think that we've earned it, that we deserve it, but God says it's by God's grace. Maybe you say, I worked hard for what I got. That's true, but who has allowed you to be able to do that? Who's given you the ability to work hard, the freedom to be able to do these things? Where did you get that? Where did you get your intelligence, your health? Where did you get your life? These things, these blessings, are a gift from God. On the back of your page here, I have listed just a few, the sum of God's gracious blessings. It says that we're saved by grace. The Bible says clearly we're saved totally by God's graciousness to us. It's not about us and what we do. We're forgiven by grace. We're strengthened in our lives by God's grace. Set free. Set free from sin, from its destruction. Set free to serve and worship God. We're given talents by God's grace. We're used by God's grace, used for God and His work. We're kept saved by His grace. Not only can we not save ourselves, but we cannot keep ourselves saved, but God's grace keeps us. God's grace. We're transformed by God's grace into new creations, and we continue to grow by God's grace. A writer by the name of Robert Louis Stevenson said this, that there is nothing in the universe but God's grace. Nothing in the universe but God's grace. It is the nails. It is the axes that the world sits on. If God's grace didn't continue, everything would cease to exist. The universe would either implode or explode. God's grace, the power of His grace, His Word keeps things in order. And you are here by God's grace. But God is saying, I am waiting on you. God says, I want to bless your life abundantly, but I am waiting on you. I want to bless. Here are four keys to being blessed by God. Four keys. I want you to take note of this. Write this down. Number one, you must receive God's blessings through Christ. You must receive His blessings through Christ. Everything God does for you, and to you, and through you, and with you, He does because of Jesus Christ. And it's not because you're a good girl or a good boy. Good guys and good girls. It's not because of what you do for God, but it's because of His Son, Jesus Christ. If you want God's blessing on your life, you need Jesus Christ. If you want God's blessing, you need to learn to love Christ. It's all tied up in a relationship with Christ. Ephesians 1:3, Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You notice the last two words? In Christ. You are blessed in Christ. You are saved in Christ. God wants to bless you in Christ. This is so important because it's the exact opposite of what any other religion will teach you. Listen, it's not about God blessing you through religion. It's not. That's not it. It's not about God blessing you through obeying rules. That's not it either. It's not about God blessing you if you keep certain rituals in your life. The only way to get God's blessing is through a particular relationship. God wants to know you. God is a personal God. A relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Everything is through Christ. Romans 9:16 is important. It does not, therefore, our salvation does not depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's what? Mercy. It's not on your desire. It's not on your effort. Put those things aside. You might as well just scratch them off. It's not about you doing certain things and God will say, boy, I'm going to bless them. But it's through God's mercy, through Jesus Christ. It's His grace. What is grace? Simply this, that God gives us what we need, not what we deserve. Grace, God giving us what we need, not what we deserve. For those of you who have not heard this before, grace, G-R-A-C-E, stands for what? God's riches at Christ's expense. God gives us His riches that we don't deserve, that we haven't earned, and He gives us them at Christ's expense. His death on the cross secured that for us. This is blessing. This is God's blessing. Some of you may be sitting here right now thinking, I'm waiting on God to bless me. I'm waiting on God to bless my life. But the truth is, you're not waiting on Him. He's waiting on you. He's waiting on you because He wants to bless you. He wants to pour out His blessing on you. But you have to first come through Christ. Through Christ. He's already taken the first step so you can be blessed. In Romans 5:10, for if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Let me give you a quick explanation of Christianity. Christianity 101, the basics. So if you're here for the first time and you're checking out Christianity, here's the basics, real quick. Number one, first, God made you. God made you. You didn't make yourself. God made you. All He made you to know Him. He made you to have a relationship with Him and to love Him and to do His purpose, to do what He created you for. You're not an accident. Forget what Mom and Dad said. You're not an accident. Some of you, maybe your parents have told you all the time, you're just an accident, but you're not. God had a plan for you. So God made you. You didn't make yourself. Number two is this. We have all blown it. That means we've all sinned. None of us can stand before God and say, God, aren't I wonderful? Aren't I good? I'm a good person. I deserve eternal life. None of us can do that because we're all in the same boat. I don't care where you're from. Some of you are very good people. Most of you here are good people. Anybody kill anybody recently? So compared to some, you're very good people. But compared to God, we have all sinned. And that's the only comparison that counts. That's the truth. We've all sinned. We've all gone our own way. We've all tried to do things our own way. And that doesn't work. God cannot bless us because of sin in our life. But finally, number three, God sent Jesus. God sent Jesus Christ to come to earth and to bring you back to Himself. And the only way He saw fit to do that was that Jesus Christ died to pay the penalty for your sin. God made you. You have sin. He cannot accept you because of sin. And so He, in His love, sent Jesus Christ to say, I'm going to pay for Ken's sin. I'm going to pay for Kenny Josiah's sin. It's a lot more, but I'll pay for that too. I'm going to pay for Gavin's. Because I love him. Even when they were enemies with me because of sin, I love them. I want to know him. I made him on purpose. I want them to know me and to have a relationship with me. So I want to pour out blessings on them. God is a wonderful Father. And He loves pouring out His blessings. So why did you come? Why don't you come? Why don't you come to God this morning? Why don't you come and say, God, I want to have that kind of relationship with You. You need to come this morning. You need to pray to God, God, forgive me. I've also sinned. I know I've sinned. I'm not good enough. Forgive me. Receive me as Your child. Wash away my sins. Give me Your life. The purpose of our church is transforming lives through Christ's message. And that begins now. That transformation begins today. So first of all, we receive God's blessings through Christ. Second is this. We celebrate God's blessings in worship. Once we come to know Christ, and this morning I hope everyone will come to know Christ, that if you have never received Him, that today you will do that. Chinese New Year Day, receive Christ. You will never regret it. You will never forget it. But second, it's time to celebrate God's blessing in worship. What do I mean? It's time to thank God for what He's already done for you. God loves to bless people who are grateful for what they already have. God's not really excited about people who are always saying, what's next, God? Give me. And your prayer life simply consists of, God, I need this, I need this, I need this. We're here to worship. When you thank God, when you remember God's blessings, when you praise Him for it, that's called worship. God loves it when we thank Him for His blessings He's already given. Because He loves to bless worshipers, He wants us to be worshipers. Now remember that worship is far more than what we just do in church on Sundays. We call this worship service. Because we come here to praise God and to thank God together and to sing to Him and to give to Him. This is worship. But it's far more than just worship. And by the way, I think worship itself, we ought to give Him our best when it comes to Sundays. Do you understand what I mean? How blessed are you? Do you understand how blessed you are? How thankful are you when you come to Him? Do you come and sit or stand and kind of give Him half of your heart? Not really worshiping. You're just saying some words. That's not the same as worship. Do you look around at what other people are wearing and, ooh, I don't like that one. What does she put on that for, you know? In your mind, you're kind of critiquing everything going on. This isn't worship. Worship is you saying, thank you, God, for all You've done. Thank You for all You've given. Thank You for Your blessings. Worship, though, is also a lifestyle from morning to night of thankfulness. You wake up in the morning. God, thank You that You've given me another day to do Your work that You've given to me to do. Thank You, God, that I have such a wonderful place to live in. You go eat your breakfast. Thank You, God, for food so I don't have to start my day hungry. Thank You, God, for clothes to wear. An attitude of thankfulness. Continually thanking God. On your way to work in the morning and you're stuck in traffic And it's not very nice being able to say, thank you, God, that I have a car to get to work in. Thank you for providing so many blessings in my life. When God sees you to do that, He wants to bless you more. He wants to bless you. If you're ungrateful for what God gives to you, why would He want to bless you more? Why would He want to bless you more? He wants to see His children grateful for what they have. Romans 5:11 says, we also, what's that word? We also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. You know what reconciliation means? It means to bring together, to line up, to come together again. And God has reconciled us to Him through Jesus Christ. And it says that we rejoice in that. That is something that we worship God for. That is something that we say, thank you, God. You're the best. You're wonderful. You're awesome. You're worthy. He paid for our blessings in life. Everything you have in life is because of Jesus Christ. Your eternal life is because of Him. It's a free gift, but it's not a cheap gift. It's a free gift to you, but it cost God dearly. He paid for it with His life. He paid for it through Jesus Christ, His death. It's not cheap. Monthly now, we celebrate the Lord's Supper. The first Sunday of the month in the evening. And throughout the year, we are scheduling a couple of morning sessions. But throughout the year, we celebrate the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians 10, it says, is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? We are participating in the blood of Christ, in the body of Christ. We are participants in that. God gives us blessings through the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. What is our participation? What is our blessing? A few things. One, Jesus paid for the penalty of our sin so that you don't have to. That's a blessing. That's our participation in the blood of Christ. He paid for your penalty. Have you received His forgiveness? He paid for it already. It's there. It's a gift. And He's holding out a gift that's paid for. And He says, take it. Second, He broke the power of sin, which means I can now change. I don't have to stay the same. I don't have to. I may choose to, but God broke the power of sin. I am free. I don't have to stay the same. God can do miracles in my life. I don't have to stay in a rut. Number three, God guaranteed me a place in heaven. That's a blessing. I have eternal life. I have heaven. And I've said this before. If for some reason God never blessed you a single day more, and the rest of your life was with hardships, heartaches, hurt, pain, sickness, diseases, and you died, but you go to heaven, praise God. Praise God. Praise Him anyway. But I want you to know something. God loves you. You're His child. And He loves to lavish His children with blessings. But we need to show thankfulness. And we need to worship God in it. What does this mean? It means that every other problem you have in life is minor by comparison to having eternal life. Any other problem that you have in life is minor. It's small compared to what awaits you. Can you see that? Some of you have had great difficulties. I know that. And I'm not trying to belittle them. I'm not trying to say that you haven't been hurt or you haven't gone through horrible times. Some of you may be in difficulties right now. And I'm not trying to say it doesn't matter, just get over it, don't worry about it. But I am saying that God has given us such a blessing in Christ that anything else is minor compared to the eternal life that awaits us. Anything else is minor. Romans 8:32. This is the neat thing. It says, He did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. How will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? You hear that? He's given us eternal life, and He didn't spare His own Son. And the Bible says, will He not just, if He's done this much, if He's loved you this much, will He not take care of other needs in your life because He loves you so much? And the answer is obviously yes. I was reading a story this week from a man named Chuck Colson. He writes this story of a visit that he made in South America to a prison. It says, near the city of San Jose in Brazil is a remarkable prison facility. 20 years ago, the Brazilian government gave up on this prison. And so they turned it over to two Christians who renamed the prison and decided to build the prison on Christian principles. With only two full employees, full time, all the work is done by inmates. Chuck Colson visited the prison in Brazil, and he said this, I found the inmates smiling, particularly the murderer who held the keys to the prison, opened the gates, and he let me in. Wherever I went in the prison, I saw men at peace. I saw clean living areas. I saw people working cheerfully. This is the power of the gospel. The walls were decorated with Bible verses. Then the guided escorted me to the notorious prison cell that had once been used for torture. He told me that it now houses only one inmate. As we walked down the long hall, he put the key in the lock and he asked, Chuck, are you sure you want to go in? Of course, I said impatiently. I've been in isolation cells all over the world. Slowly he swung open the massive door, and I saw the solitary prisoner in that cell. It was a wooden statue carved by the inmates of Jesus hanging on the cross. My guide said softly, He's doing time for the rest of us. Think about that for a minute. Jesus Christ took your place on the cross. He's doing time for you. He did time for you so that you don't have to spend time in hell separated from God. He did your time for you. The power of the gospel, it's transforming. It's amazing. He paid the penalty for your sin. What is it that you're imprisoned by? Some of you have been imprisoned by guilt, by anger, by hate, by unforgiveness, and your life is like being in prison. Jesus Christ already did the time for you. If you will surrender it, give it over to Him, receive His pardon, His penalty, His forgiveness for you. Number three, expect God's blessings by faith. You want God's blessings in your life. I want God's blessings in my life. It only comes through Jesus Christ. And we're to worship Him for His blessings. But we're also to expect His blessings in faith. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. Faith is not just going to church. It's not being a nice person or anything else. Only faith can guarantee the blessings that we are hoping for. God blesses you when you trust Him. God loves it when you expect Him to bless you. God loves it when you expect Him to take care of you, to meet your needs, to meet your deepest needs. It's a compliment to God for us to be able to say, God, I'm up to my neck. I'm in big troubles. I can't handle it anymore. I need You in my life. I need Your power. I need Your blessing, Your provision. I need You to take care of this because I am unable. And God looks at that and He says, yes, that's my girl. Yes, that's my boy. That's what I want you to do. I want you to trust me. I want you to come to that place that you say, God, I need You to do a miracle in my life. I need You to trust me. It's faith that brings the blessings of God in our lives. Faith. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. It doesn't say without faith, it is difficult to please God. It's impossible. How many things did you do this week that were unpleasing because you did it without faith? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So without faith, our lives are displeasing. How many of you live lives displeasing this week? The Bible says that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If it's not of faith, it's sin. How many of you sinned this week? I did a few times myself. I did a few times. Whenever you allow anxiety and worry to take over your life instead of faith, it's sinning. Whenever you allow things around you to appear bigger than God, and you worry and you fret, that's sinning. So let me ask again, how many of us have sinned this week? A few more. Some of you still aren't getting it. Guys, whatever is not of faith is sin. Now let me ask you a personal question. What are you expecting God to do in your life? You want God's blessings, but what are you expecting? What are you expecting? I can tell you already what God is going to do in your life. I'm not a prophet and I'm not foreseeing the future, but I can tell you what God's doing in your life, what He's going to do. Because the Bible says, according to your faith, it will be done to you. So I can tell by how much, what are you expecting God to do? What are you expecting God to do? Maybe you don't believe Him for anything. You're not expecting a single thing from God. Well, guess what's going to happen this coming year? Not a lot. God blesses those who expects God to be there to do something in their life. In His Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked about the birds. He pointed people to some birds and He says, look at them. They don't worry. They're not full of anxiety. But you know what? God takes care of them. How much more your Father who knows your needs? How much more will He take care of you? These are birds. These are wild animals or creatures. God made you in His image. How much more does your Father know? And so many times when you worry, we're acting like we are orphans, like we don't have a heavenly Father. We're acting like a practical atheist, saying, in other words, there's no God. There's no God. That's what we do when we're not expecting blessings from God. So here's what I want you to do right now in your mind. I want you to think of the greatest fear in your life or the deepest need that you have in your life. Put it in your mind. Think about it. Place it there in your mind. God is asking you now, are you going to trust me in this? Are you going to expect blessings from me in this? Are you willing to be able to say, God, I need you to do something here because I am unable. I'm too deep. I need you in my life. That problem that's keeping you awake at night, that problem that every time you think about it, it creates a knot and a tightness in your stomach and you want it to go away, God is asking a question this morning. Will you trust me? Will you trust me with this? Finally, number four. We're to share God's blessings with others. We're to share His blessings with others. You receive God's blessings through Christ. You celebrate it through worship. You expect His blessings by faith, and you share His blessings with others. God doesn't just want to bless your life and you sit there and soak up wonderful blessings. God doesn't want to just bless you so that you can feel good and say, "Isn't this great? I feel so blessed." God blesses you so that you can be a blessing to other people. Amen? Will you be a blessing to other people? 2 Corinthians 9 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." You will abound in every good work. You will be able to extend the good work to others and bless others. God blesses you so that you can be a blessing. Have you been soaking too long? Have you been a sponge receiving God's blessings? It's time to be a blessing to others. Maybe you sit there and you're saying, "Ken, I don't have any abundance to bless others with." But the truth is you do. Remember, we're in the top 8% of wealthy people in the world. I'm a wealthy man. I never thought I'd say that, but I'm a wealthy man. I live in New Zealand. I have everything I need. And so do you. We're in the top 8% of wealth in the world. God doesn't want you to just keep soaking. We have to give. You don't say, "I'll be a blessing to others," or "I'll give when I get to a certain level of whatever. When I win the lottery, then I'll be able to be a blessing to everybody." You know, that's wrong thinking. God wants you to be a blessing right now. Jesus at the temple saw the widow with two small coins put all that she had and give it to help needs. She didn't say, "Hey, I'm going to wait. I'm poor. Everyone else has a lot more than I do. So I'm going to wait until I have something to give." Let me tell you, it takes place here. Our giving takes place here. If it doesn't happen here when you're poor, it doesn't happen when you're rich. You just become a rich miser instead of a poor miser. So you can either be a poor miser or a rich one, but you're still a miser. God can't bless. He can't use you. You're not a blessing to others. It takes place in the heart. How do I become more of a blessing to other people? I want to encourage you to come back next week too. I'm going to be talking about how you can be a blessing, how you can bless other people. How to be a blessing to other people. Acts 20, verse 35 is a familiar statement of Jesus. It says, "Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus Himself, said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" It is more blessed to give than to receive. God wants to bless us. You may be saying, "I'm waiting for God to bless me." But He already wants to. And He's waiting on you. He's waiting on you. What are you going to do? Some of you today, I will say, need to trust in Jesus Christ and receive His forgiveness. We receive God's blessings through Christ. Some of you today need to have a heart change and live a life of worship and thankfulness to God. Beginning at church, but all through the week, a heart of thanks, a heart of praise. Some of you need to learn to expect God's blessings more. According to your faith, it will be done to you. And all of us need to be sharing God's blessings with others. Will you stand with me? Stand together. Church. God's waiting to bless. I believe that God has so much blessing that He wants to give to us. So much blessing, listen, that He wants to give to us. But sometimes we prevent Him from giving blessings. I believe that when we get to heaven, we're going to realize that we didn't receive all the blessings God had intended for us because of our own selves. We're going to see all the blessings that God had in store for us that He couldn't give for various reasons. God is waiting on you. And this year, I want you to live and to have the most blessed year you ever had before. I'm not talking about wishing you wealth or perfect health. We're talking about God's blessings in your life, His transforming power in your life, His ability to take your life and use it for His purposes, His ability to take your family and your relationships and do amazing things if you will let Him. But we can refuse to let Him and continue in our strength and power and mess things up. God is good. Will you come to Him this morning? Those of you who are here and you're realizing in your own heart, I need to do the first step, and that is come to Him through Jesus Christ. Will you do that? Come forward, pray with someone, and pray that simple prayer. God, I'm a sinner. I need Your salvation. I need Your forgiveness. Save me. And leave here today receiving God's great blessings and His greatest blessing of all, eternal life. Father, I pray that all of us have a better understanding of the blessings that You offer us and how You give them to us. Blessing is not luck. Blessing is not just good fortune. Blessing comes from You through Jesus Christ. And Lord, I believe with all my heart that You want to give so much more to us than what we are handling right now. Lord, break down the walls in our hearts. Forgive our lack of faith. Increase our faith. Help us, Lord, to look to You, to worship You because of Your blessings, to expect great things from You, to share Your blessings so that You can in turn bless us even more because we're giving it out. I pray, Lord, for anyone who in their heart is contemplating coming to receive You as their Savior. Move them, Father. Move them. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.